Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him by the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello, how are we? And welcome to another edition of the Glovers Cast. It's been a little bit of a quiet week, but that doesn't mean there's any less for us three to waffle about. Joining us, as always, is Mr. David Coates from way up north and Mr. Ian Perkins from way down south. Dave, Ian, how are we, fine gentlemen?
All right, I'm just trying to figure out your geography. Is Dave more northern than you?
Probably slightly, yeah. You draw a straight line from Preston to Leeds. It's probably not much in it.
Dirty Northern. Okay.
Hey, can I just say at Solio, I started the chant of Dirty Northern Bastards.
Oh.
You're going to have to press a button now.
Very early on to get the first.
Yeah, blimey, that's less than a minute.
We are less than a minute into the podcast and we've got to press the naughty word.
People
button.
Are covering their children's ears already.
Unbelievable. Immediately now have to go on past 9 p.m. on the Three Valleys schedule. Unbelievable from you.
We're always on there anyway, aren't we?
Yeah, we're normally last up, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're normally last up. That's fine.
Post-watershed.
It has been a fairly quiet week, lads. We keep joking about wanting one normal day, and we got, you know, a bit of Andrew Barrowman and John Barrowman in last week, but we have had a couple of normal days, and it's been a bit nervy. I don't know about you, lads, but I've been a bit worried. It's not been going bonkers at Hewish Park.
Is it because Conte's got a job now and he doesn't want his meme going about anymore?
Must be what it is. It must be what it is. He can't be posing for memes if he's got actual coaching to do.
Absolutely.
He's got a lot. It is quite funny to see the stats on the website just go this week. Like when there's like nothing going on.
People not want to know about Yate Town tickets now. Or Max Hunt being suspended. Ben correctly saying when he's going to get suspended.
Only saying it correctly because I originally said it incorrectly. That's worth noting.
Okay. Correcting himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Oops. But yeah.
What have we done this week, lads? What have you done without you?
Work. Proper work.
What did you do on Tuesday night?
What did I do on Tuesday night?
I think I watched Man United. Were Man United on? I think I watched Man United. Watch Cristiano Ronaldo, I should say, save Man United again.
I think I was probably thinking about website stuff.
Wow. Thinking, our website?
Yeah. Always. In my sleep, in my waking days, just thinking about it. Well, it's probably, you know, this week. Should we tell the listeners what we're doing?
Are you going to do it?
Yeah, I think
what
we
have
should.
You got planned? Don't say names.
Okay.
Give it the story, a bit like a David Coates quiz analog.
Okay. I was born
in Yeovil Hospital on the 8th of December 1989. So I was reminiscing about our summer of interviews, basically.
We did do some good ones. Go and check them out. They were brilliant.
Summer of love.
That was just the me and Josh Staunton one.
Yeah. And Gawley.
Yeah, true, yeah.
I wonder if either of them have listened back and like, oh, he's like it with all of them.
No. Yeah, they'd feel special. Josh would feel special, I think.
And sort of thought about trying to do some more of those. So the aim is one a month, the start of the first Wednesday of every month. We've already got next month's planned in.
Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it.
Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it. So, yeah, every month we'll drop an interview with a legend.
Oh, you've promised a lot there.
Legend, yeah, well, yeah. Maybe not legend.
Someone who used to play for us, at least.
One of us three will think they will be a legend.
Yeah, true.
Who's Ben's favourite? Ollie Johnson, is it? Or
I think he plays it. I think he plays just down the road. I could probably get him quite easy.
Yeah, he's not.
Is Ollie Johnson your favourite ever player, Ben?
No, he's not my favourite ever player. Incorrect. He scored one good goal that in my head is far better than it actually was.
Was a good goal. Try me, yeah.
It was a good goal, but like, in my head it was about 45 yards. It wasn't. It was about 20. It's fine.
It wasn't that good. It's like me and Howard Thorrington. If we got him on, I would be like a giggling girl. I tell you, what, I really would. I'd be more nervous
than
I was
so
with
than
Graham.
More
so than normal, yeah. More so than I was with Graham Roberts. Anyway, I'm just scared of Graham Roberts, I think, but... Yeah.
If anyone out there in the Glover's Cast world has a direct link for Howard Thorrington, can you please get in touch? Because we want to make this happen. I want to see Coates squeal.
Wow. There's the headline for this pod. I want to see Coates squeal.
We can definitely find Howard for Dave, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And to be fair, we are going to I don't mind opening it up. If there's people out there that you think, oh, I wonder what that player's up to now. I wonder where this legend is. Can you get hold of it? Let us know. We can't make promises. We're going to try and make some. We're going to send some emails. We're going to send some messages. We're going to slide in some DMs and see what lands. But we think they're positive. We think they're good. And if you like them, we're going to try and find some more legends. So if you want any names, fire them our way and we'll do our best. Tag them on social media. And see if they spot us. How about that? Do our jobs for us.
Quick question for both of you. Who is your like God tier person that you would like to speak to?
I've already said mine, haven't I?
Fozzy.
Fozzy? Yep, come on. Howard, if you don't mind. Fozzy was Adrian Foster.
Adrian Foster, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Ben's former coach.
Well remembered. I was going to use that story.
I know you were. That's why I said it.
Am I that predictable?
Yeah. Tell us again about Coombs St. Nicholas. No, don't go there.
I won't. I promise. I won't bore the people. Who's my top tier level got to go and get? I would quite like Chris Cohen. 2007 era, I think, is an era we need to explore a little bit more.
Yeah.
So Chrissy Cohen's right up there.
Well, next month's could be good then.
Well, I'm hopeful we might get somebody along those lines. So let's go. He's the first one that came into my mind, but there are plenty. Phil Jevons would also be another one.
Cool.
What about you? What about you? Who's your GOAT tier? Who's your top level?
Michael Mackindo.
Oh,
that would be a good one, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would be a good one.
If anyone knows where he is, can you let us know? And maybe an authority or two as well, because there might be people looking for him.
I reckon he's in a boat somewhere. He's like in a super yacht, isn't he? Just like sailing around the world. He's got a massive long beard. He's like Tom Hanks in Castaway, I reckon, Michael.
I reckon he's in the Highlands.
I reckon.
Yeah.
A sheep farmer in the Highlands.
Yeah.
Just walking around with nothing but a kilt and a massive stick.
I was going to say like Jesus, but I don't know if he had a stick or a kilt.
Or a kilt.
Or number 11 on his back.
Yeah.
So there you go. There you go. We've spoiled it. No, we haven't spoiled it. We've opened the door as to what may be in the Glover's Cast future. Should we talk about the Glover's Cast past? As there was no game on Tuesday, so we have to go even further back to discuss some actual football.
Yeah, well, do you want to... Obviously, me and Coatsy had a...
We've done this already. Where were you?
I was bowling with 16 six-year-olds.
That's true, yeah. You got a tougher assignment than we did, I think.
You're absolutely right, I did.
Did you win?
No. I wasn't playing. It was just the juniors at 11 quid a pop for 16. I wanted the kids to get every penny's worth.
How many games did they play?
Well, they got an hour of just free play.
Oh, that's good. Rather than
a set, and then they got food afterwards and stuff.
Because one game's too short, and two games is too long.
So an hour of free time
sounds great. I might ask for that the next time I get to go bowling.
Yes. Make sure you upgrade to the ultimate party package, though. Otherwise, they won't refill your juice for you.
Oh, okay.
They only give you one jug if you don't have the ultimate party package.
Does Thatcher's count as juice?
I felt like it needed to for a Sunday morning. Yes. My Saturday afternoon, however, was far more entertaining. I was in Birmingham, right near the airport, not a million miles away from where Dave was, actually, if truth be told.
Were you queued for a burger?
No, we didn't have to queue. We were the first. Me and Sheridan had a very nice burger.
They got it brought to them on a silver platter.
BBC. Can I get my burger, please?
Yes, it was a very nice burger. Other people have said bad things about the burger. I really enjoyed mine.
I gave it a 2 out of 7. The burger.
Oh no, it was a pleasant 5.
Did you bring your own fried spam to put on it as an extra?
No. They had bacon for it, so I had a bacon cheeseburger with some burger sauce, and it was really nice. And
you didn't have to queue for 20 minutes like I did.
No, I had to queue for about 4 seconds. I might have had the first burger off the cab.
Cab.
Wow. Yeah. So that was it. Was a good time. It was a good time. And then some football happened.
Yeah. So tell us what you thought then, Ben.
In fact, before you do, did
you listen to what I said? Did you listen to Monday's podcast and wonder who had taken over my body?
Yeah, I thought you were very, very nearly a playoff side, you said.
Two very good players off a playoff side. I quoted Phil Jevons and Gavin Williams. So,
okay, that's fine. That's okay. I thought it was, I didn't think Solihull were much cop, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought it was a very nearly performance. Throughout the course of the entire match, I thought we were nearly brilliant. Every time we went forward, we looked dangerous. We looked exciting. We turned their defence around to face their own goal on more than a few occasions. And the last ball, the last shot, the last decision was nearly correct right the way throughout the game. Defensively, I thought we looked assured. I thought we looked calm. I thought we looked really well organized. Josh Staunton had everyone marshaled very, very well. It was nearly perfect because we kept inviting the pressure. We just couldn't keep the pressure off for long enough for us to build enough in the way of momentum. I felt like their spells in the game at Solihull had 5 minute spells, 10 minute spells, where it was just wave after wave after wave. We had 2 minute spells, where we kind of felt like we had to make it count. Joe Quigley had a snapshot in the second half, and that was kind of it, really. So it felt like a point well earned, but a real case of what might have been. If Adi Youssef had nodded the ball in and not somehow scooped it over right on halftime, very different game of football. And a game of football, I think we'd probably go on and win.
Literally was the last kick of the first half, last touch of the first half where Youssef put it over, wasn't it? I didn't realise till I watched it on the highlights again that it was that soon. But it looked closer in real life than it did on the highlights. The highlights, it looked like it went quite high over. But I seem to remember thinking that it was quite a good chance. And I didn't realise how good the effort that he had just before that, where I think he took a deflection on his way past, but that was a really good, you know, bit of turn and shot from him.
Yeah, it was really good instinct play. Good. He kind of took it, turned and just pinged it. And yeah, that deflection brought the corner from which he just managed to get that last chance over. When you're away at Solihull and you know you aren't going to get many clear-cut chances, to get a good one followed by a great one and not take either. Oh, so frustrating. A real case of what might have been. But I do think we'll look back on that in the very near future as being a good point gained rather than 2 points dropped. If we could have stayed at 10 versus 11 for longer, maybe we'd have been able to impose ourselves a little bit more and Sonny Blue came on and Joe Quigley came on and they might have had a bit more room to get involved, but they were being planned to come on before Max Hunt was sent off. So that was clearly the plan, get creative players in and try and take advantage of the extra space. And then Max Hunt gets caught the wrong side and hacks down Andy Dallas. Has to take his red card and we'll miss him this weekend.
Looks like Youssef has scored a few goals in training this week, though, doesn't it?
Had a bit of a nap or two. He's earned his rest.
You think he really was asleep? Or do you reckon that was all set up?
A very odd position to fall asleep
in. I was going to say, yeah, he could fall asleep anywhere if he can fall asleep like that, I think. But yeah, I tweeted it, goals inbound. You wait and see. Watch out, Yatesville.
Maybe it's his thinking position.
Maybe, yeah. That'll make sense to people later on in the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit Doctor Who, wibbly wobbly timey wimey, that one. So another Barrowman reference opened up there.
Great news.
Celebrity type. Sorry, John, if you're listening. He wasn't a Sully Hull either, was he? I didn't see. Was he in the padded seats with you, Ben?
Yeah, the BBC section.
Oh,
yeah.
By the way. I've been very lucky to sit in a number of press areas in my life. That might be the worst. That might have been the worst. It was horrific. It was you had less room than you would on a Ryanair flight in the very back of the plane. There was no room. You had to, so there was a wooden desk bit that folded down for you to put your laptop on and your notes and whatever. And the only way to actually get any room was to have that folded up and have your notes and laptop and things on the one next to you. So you had to stand with it up because there was just no room. It was horrendous. It was, yeah, without question, the worst press box I've been in ever. And I've been in a few shockers, namely Southend. That was used to be the worst. It's now been taken over by Solihull Moors. It's like they put the stadium in and then someone went, so where are you going to put the radio guys? And they went, oh, for Jesus. It's fine. Just stick them over there. Awful. One out of seven.
Gary, mate.
There we go.
Were your diamond shoes too tight and your wallet too small for your 50s as well? How the other half live, eh?
Yeah.
First world problems.
Worst press box ever.
What do you think the press box is going to be like at Yate Town on Saturday?
Open
literally
air,
like a cardboard box that you just stood in.
Probably.
Yeah, see, they've put in some extra seating, haven't they? They've put in a new temporary stand behind the goal, I think. Don't know if that's where we are, but...
Have they? Yeah. This feels like a good segue into my chat with Seb from Yate Town. He talked about the club and the excitement around the game, what happened at Dover. Quite interesting. One of the things he did say, I think he said it after we'd actually finished speaking, was that... although the ground holds 2,000, they've only done 1,600, I think, because the police, something policey.
Something like, policey, technical, right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. too many people. I think they thought 2,000 was too much in the
Is that the same reason we don't hit 2,000 at Hewish Park as well?
That's because 2,000 people don't turn up.
Yeah. Don't
anyway, enough. That we does sound like a very good segue.
Yeah, it does.
Or it was, anyway.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, so I am joined by Seb, who is the media officer from Yate Town Football Club.
Seb, welcome to the Glovers cast.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on tonight.
You're absolutely welcome. An exciting game on Saturday coming up. Before we go into the match, tell us a little bit about Yate Town and what Yeovil Town fans can expect when they arrive on Saturday.
Oh, well, yeah. We're just a semi-professional club in South Gloucestershire, just outside Bristol. We play in the Southern Premier South, which is two leagues below yourself. This is the highest division we've ever been in, to be honest. And we're probably we've probably got one of the smallest budgets in the league, but we're definitely competing with the big boys out there. So we've started the season very well. You can expect a good welcome in. We're a friendly club, and I expect, well, it's going to be a massive crowd there. So, yeah, there's going to be a big buzz around the club.
Yeah, there's certainly a buzz from down our way about this game. It took a bit of effort to get to the first round proper, though, didn't it? What happened the Dover night made headlines all over the place. That was a bit of a busy evening for you.
Yeah, the first, obviously we done very well in Dover and managed to get a 1-1 draw there, which resulted in a replay on the Tuesday night. We were all ready to go. And then it was a couple of the floodlights. The main one was one in the corner of the ground, which was off. We worked from 7:30 till about, I think it was just after 8:30, to get the floodlights back on, which we managed to do. And there was a deadline of 8:30, and I think the floodlight came on at 8:34. So Dover said they didn't want to play and just went home, which was, obviously, you can imagine, quite frustrating for everyone there.
Yeah, they came back, though, and you put them away. What was the game like? What was that night like? I saw some great pictures of the players enjoying the celebrations.
Yeah, it was great. Obviously, another big crowd. I think we had roughly 900 people there on a Tuesday night, which was, compared to our normal attendances, massive. The goal at the end was great. It was just a really good night. A nervous night, though.
Yeah, what are you expecting on Saturday? How do you get to, do you get chat with the players? What are they thinking about playing?
We spoke to the manager after, obviously, yesterday's game against Salisbury, which was a good win again, 5-2. And he's just, he's excited, but he's taking it as a free hit. We got nothing to lose, really. The pressure's off the lads. We're just going to go and play our own game and see what happens.
Yeah, and a lot of your players, you said they're semi-professional, so this is going to be one of those classic FA Cup days where we talk about plumbers and builders and that sort of thing. Is it playing against Yeovil?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, players at this level, they rarely get to the first round. It's a big day for them, big day for the club as well.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about the Salisbury match. A good win. Was it 5-2, did you say?
Yeah, 5-2, yeah.
5-2. So in scoring form, what type of football does your manager try to play? Like, what should Yeovil fans expect from the team when they line up against Yeovil?
Yeah, for sure. He definitely likes to play on the floor. I've been obviously at the club for 9 years, and I think this is probably the best football I've seen at Yate Town since I've been here. We play on the floor. We work very hard off the ball and on the ball. It's going to be a tough game.
And your pitch, what is it? Is it a nice pitch? He likes to play on the floor, so probably got a decent pitch. We're not going to be playing on a muddy slope. A good pitch.
you'll be surprised how big it is when you turn up.
No, right. Well, I like the trees all down one side.
Yeah, it adds to the scenery and the atmosphere, I think.
I bet you lose a few footballs in those.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
And like overall, how is the club feeling about the tie? It's a, you know, like you said, it's a long time since you were in the first round proper. A big day for a club your size, a sellout crowd as well. There must be a lot of optimism sort of off the pitch as we come up the road.
Yeah, for sure. I think we're just, it's just going to be a good day. We've got a lot of media coverage from it. And the main thing is just trying to get supporters back to the league games and try and attract more fans to the club. That's the main aim for us, I think.
Yeah, is it tricky? I suppose you're, you know, Bristol City, Bristol Rovers.
Yeah, we're kind of in between the two of them.
Yeah,
and a lot of locals do tend to go to their games, so it's just trying to, yeah, attract them.
Yeah, well, hopefully hopefully it will be a reasonable day that your supporters will enjoy, but not too much, because obviously we'd like to go through.
Yeah.
We'd like to go through. Was there anything else you wanted to tell the listeners of the Glovers Cast about the club at all, or anything you wanted to add?
I just want to add, yeah, just I hope you have a good day at the club, and we look forward to welcoming you on Saturday. Let's hope for a great game, and we'll see what happens.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for joining us to chat about the football club, and enjoy the game on Saturday. Hopefully it's an entertaining one for us all.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we're back from that nice little chat with Seb. Shall we talk about the presser? Ben was in attendance today with a gaffer. How was your...
Did he go well?
They're being mean to me, guys. They're being mean to me. You don't...
Hi, Gaffer! Hi, Gaffer! Gaffer so, friend!
Oh, right, okay. Am I allowed to defend myself? Am I allowed to defend myself? So he just called Paul from the Western Gazette a negative Nelly. I was trying to keep him sweet.
Yeah. Just how to make friends and influence gaffers by Ben Barrett.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Negative Nelly. I did think that was the nicest insult he could have. He did say something like, that's the nicest I can put it, isn't it? A negative Nelly.
Yes. Yeah. Paul asked about the form and the fact that actually we haven't won many games. And he was maybe not so overly pleased with that way of looking at the statistics.
How dare you point that out?
Yes. And so he wanted to switch things around. So he called Paul the negative Nelly. And I thought, oh, crikey, I've got to follow Nelly and ask some other questions. So I thought I would be a bit cheerful and upbeat. And yes, I'm fully aware of how cringeworthy my moment was.
Positive Polly.
Brilliant. Oh yeah, positive Polly.
Positive podcast Polly.
Triple P. So a couple of defenders, one of which could be back, one or the other, we don't know which.
Yeah, the feeling is that they won't risk both. They don't need to risk both. It'll be Staunton and whoever's the fittest of Williams and Wilkinson, and they won't risk both, with Jack Robinson being an easy person to chuck in there if you do need half an hour or 45 minutes out of somebody else at centre-back. So I think it'll be one or the other. They're going to try them both today and see who trains best and not risk the other one. So, yeah, hopefully we'll know sort of who's ahead of whom come 3 o'clock on Saturday with regards to getting those defenders back. But it is good that they are both within touching distance of being available again.
I think the way they should decide it is let both of them run to Yate. Start tomorrow morning. Whoever gets there first doesn't have to play. Because they'll be tired out.
Yeah. And the other one won't be, no?
No, because they wouldn't have made it.
No, all right.
That's probably how my selection process would go the game. Which probably says a lot about me.
But also good to hear that Dan Moss, Mr. Moss, has re-signed until January 24th.
Yeah. Right.
That is FA Cup fourth round weekend, I believe.
Oh, is it?
Not that we're being preemptive here.
Just in time to play
for Millwall in the fourth round. But he, he looked, I thought, I know you'd mentioned to the gaffer that you were highly thought of Jack Robinson's performance, which I agree with you. And I said on Monday that I thought he did well as well. But Dan Moss, I thought, was brilliant at Solihull as well. So very pleased that he's going to be with us a bit longer.
Yeah, definitely. I thought he was huge at Stockport. I thought he was really good there at Stockport. I did give Jack Robinson man of the match at Solihull because at halftime he was getting sort of a bit of physio work with Scott, the sports scientist, and we were questioning whether or not he was even going to make 90 minutes. So to not only play 90 minutes, but to play out of his skin in those dying moments, especially at centre-back, he was fantastic. And it's really good that both of them have really taken to this side well. It seems as though they're fitting into this defence really comfortably, and it's something that has been questioned of us. I think I did it as one of my five conclusions, was that, you know, you can question our ability with loans maybe occasionally, but when we get them right, and we are getting them right at the moment with Moss and Robinson, it's benefiting everybody.
Yeah.
And the news that Coatsy will be so pleased about is the return of Reuben Reid.
Ahead of schedule, no less.
By the end of the month rather than Christmas. So
one of the top five strikers in this division, apparently.
Open your advent calendar early because Reuben Reid will be in number
Reid
one.
Burst out. Well, I've said it before, and not that this will make any difference, but if the Reuben Reid goal return of last season is back again, then I don't think that's good enough. But I am more than happy to give Reuben Reid another crack at it. If this Reuben Reid is different to the one who got, I don't know, I can't remember how many goals he got last season, but a player like that, one of the top five strikers in this division, should be scoring more goals than he did last season.
The question is, can we judge him on the amount of goals he scores after coming back from a long-term hamstring injury?
Sure, there's got to be a disclaimer in there, isn't there, Ben?
This is just flat-out bullying now. That's what this is.
What does the gaffer say about it?
Okay. Yes. He's one of the best back-to-goal strikers in either this league or the league above, remember?
Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't argue with that. He's a very good link-up man. Very good link-up man, I would say.
So what if he creates loads of goals? Because that's one thing we've missed. What if the team starts scoring loads of goals off the back of his reappearance in the side?
Well, then maybe I will change my opinion on him. But I'd say that creating chances is probably not something we've had a problem with. It's the finishing of the chances that we've had a problem with this season.
I don't think I don't think we created it. But certainly the four awful games at home, we didn't create.
I didn't see those four awful games.
We didn't suffering. Yeah, I am. We didn't create a lot.
On the subject of goals, though, the manager talked about Matt Worthington today, didn't he? Didn't he say he was in the best form of his time under Darren Sarr? See how I moved that on from talking about Reuben Reid.
He did. And obviously we got to speak to Matt Worthington as well. And one of the journalists talked to Matt Worthington about how he was challenged at the start of the season to go on and be more influential in the, I can't remember who that was, in the team and be a leader.
Hi, Matty. Matty Worth.
This has descended into farce very early on, hasn't it? I'm very, very fortunate that I like these gentlemen. Yes, I did. I did speak to Matt Worthington. I didn't ask him how his Wi-Fi was.
No.
But yes. He was pretty good. He was pretty upbeat, thinking about sort of making that position his own. He's had to wait for his chance after being a silly boy on the opening day. But now he's got his chance. He's doing okay. I think there's a lot to be said for the way we're playing at the moment. Maybe doesn't suit him the best, but I still think he's making a good deal of it. So, yeah, he'll be in the middle of that midfield in that three, I'm sure, come Saturday, and hopefully he can sort of run the show again.
Yeah, and he said he wants to add goals to his game, didn't he? Obviously scored at Weymouth, but I think that's something we've all said, isn't it? Getting more goals out of him would be a good thing. So good to hear he's working on that.
Wonder who he's getting coaching off to score more goals.
Reuben Reid's helping with training.
Yeah. Setting him up.
Probably, yeah. Back to goal. Laying it off. Bosh, goal.
We're already planting seeds for not judging Ruben Reid on the amount of goals he scores, aren't we?
Well, as long as the team wins.
Yeah.
Hey, if we win every game from when Ruben Reid returned and he doesn't score a single goal, I won't say a word, I promise.
Win them all,
yeah.
Oh, God. we're not at that stage yet, are we?
No, we're not. No. If you want to hear serious journalistic reporting, Glover's Cast, and you can go and listen to the interviews with the gaffer and with Matt Worthington. Just fast forward to about 5 minutes before the end, and then you'll get the serious stuff.
You didn't ask him anything about Cristiano Ronaldo, so I don't want to hear it.
No, I didn't ask him about Cristiano Ronaldo. No, as it was not in any way, shape, or form applicable to the current situation at Yeovil Town. No, I didn't.
Didn't stop someone, did it?
Hi, AD.
Should we?
We've got a lot of questions, haven't we?
Questions, we have, yeah.
Yes.
I'm looking at the watch. Right. Shall I read them out?
Go for it. I haven't dared press the Twitter button. I've got lots of notifications. Are we popular again or something?
I don't know, but I think the lack of football has meant people just want to talk. Want to ask us stuff.
People are going loopy without football.
We haven't had a crazy defeat that's thrown people a little bit wild.
Or a celebrity link.
Celebrity-type link.
Yeah.
Jerry Chinnock asks, if you could have a return of any former Yeovil player for one season, who would it be? And why would it be Ollie Johnson?
Go on, Ben.
It probably would be Chris Goen, actually. I think I've said before that in that midfield three, I don't quite feel like Jordan Barnett is a midfield three. I either want him as an attacking left back, or I don't mind pushing him further forward. I'm surprised you haven't made the fun of fact that I did compare him ever so slightly with Gareth Bale on air on Saturday.
Ever so slightly.
Gareth Bale?
All I said was...
Jordan Barnett?
All I said was, let me defend myself for the love of God.
You've brought the attack on yourself, actually, Ben. we're not even saying anything.
I simply pointed out that he was a defender who was being pushed further and further forward. And I said, I wondered if, like with the situation with Gareth Bale, that he's now an out-and-out striker, whether Jordan Barnett's future may lie further forward as part of that front three. Yeah. So
you did go on to say, and they'll score a bicycle kick in the European Cup final.
So long as Karius is in goal in the other end.
Yes.
So going back to the original question, I'd have Chris Goen back to be the left side of that three at the moment, alongside Gorman and Worthington, and hopefully Staunton in the future coming out of the defence, allowing Jordan Barnett to either be a very attacking fullback or be part of that front three. Serious answer.
Go on, Ian.
I don't want to answer Gavin Williams because I feel like I always answer Gavin Williams.
A bad answer, though, is it?
We need a striker. So I'll go with... I think I'll go with Mr. Jevons would be nice. That type of striker. Or Mr. Jackson. Jevo or Kirk Jackson.
We'd score a penalty if we had Jevo about, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Kirk Jackson, the best back-to-goal scorer of the early Now, I'd have gone with Jevo as well. Like you say, you need a clinical finisher, don't you? And he's your man.
Alternatively, plan B, what about Skivo? A defender who could actually score goals from set pieces. Yeah. And a centre-back who was always pretty fit and... wasn't out, so well, he did go out.
Next question.
Dan Johnson, what is your favorite trick or treat sweet? # Palmer Violet Gate.
This is an onslaught.
I've stayed out of the Palmer Violet.
Okay, well, what's your view on Palmer Violets? Come on, Ian. Me and Ben have drawn very clear lines for and against Palmer Violets.
Yeah,
I am very strongly against them because they taste like eating your grandmother's perfume. Not that I've ever eaten my grandmother's perfume. But...
This was a very in-out question, wasn't it? Like,
it was. It was. You got to take a side. Pick a side on this one. Not like Clevo, who said, "Oh, I need a third way." Come on, step up, Clevo.
I think they're the kind of sweet that if they were the last sweet there, then I'd be like, "Oh, may as well have one." Both of you are shaking. Neither of you are happy with that answer.
It's not a ringing endorsement, is it? But
yeah, I don't have strong feelings about it either way. I'm afraid I cannot share your passion and hatred for Palmer Violet Sweet. So my favourite trick or treat sweet, I don't know, a dairy milk.
Dairy milk?
Can I have a dairy milk?
Where do you go trick-or-treating that they give What's you dairy milk? Is this like Solihull's press box where Ben was? No,
actually, do you know what I do like? You know the little packets of like chocolate balls? They're like in little tinfoil?
Oh, yeah. I know what you
like,
mean.
They're cheap chocolate, but for some reason, can't get enough of them. So a pack of those, please, Dan.
I'll have a refresher. Any kind of refresher. Lemon or strawberry, anything.
I'll have a Palmer Violet, please.
Move on.
Another one from Dan. If Dale Gorman scores a worldie against Yate, does that merit shots? At Marcus Duncombe, #, shots.
Shots, yep. That's it. Do you know what I did on the way down to Solihull?
I
put on the tequila song.
Tequila.
And I was there, and I was going, Dale Gorman. I was actually singing that going down the M6.
There we go. I think that might be a chant in the making.
There's an earworm of a tune.
There's a chant in the making, Dave.
Yeah.
I think Mark.
If anyone needs to know the lyrics, it's da 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 da.
Just like you singing ABBA all over again, isn't it?
Oh, no. Thank you for Carl Olfen.
Question from Mike Hudson. Has Coatsy Boy watched the Mighty Ducks yet? And could YTFC incorporate the Flying V to increase our potency in front of goal?
You're probably right, Mike. But no, I haven't watched it. But how about I commit to watching it before Sunday? But when we record again.
Blimey.
I will commit to that.
To have that time. You've got to go to Yate as an away.
I know, I have. Yeah,
I'm away support.
And tomorrow night, I'm supposed to be at a fireworks thing, and I'm bringing the sparklers. So
is that hosted by your employers?
No. Yeah, they don't do fireworks. Not those kind, anyway.
Jordan ANMP on Twitter. Which opposition player has impressed you all the most so far this season? It's a good question.
That is a good question.
Not used to that, are we?
I'm going to say, you've watched more games than I have. I can't really say I've been that impressed by any of them. An opposition player this season. Well, I've seen Aldershot, wasn't really impressed by any of their players. I saw Stockport, wasn't very impressed by any of their players. I saw Boreham Wood. Really that impressed by any of their players.
Top of the table, Boreham Wood.
Well, I don't remember one of their players and thinking, wow, that's something special.
The keeper, the way he calmed down situation behind the...
and he made some good saves, yeah. What was his name? Nathan...
Ashmore?
I'll go with him. Nathan Ashmore.
There you go.
Yeah.
I liked Musa at Weymouth when we played in the first game. I thought he was really good. The type of midfielder I thought we could have done with.
He shushed the Thatcher's end after they scored, didn't he?
Yeah.
He gave it to Jordan Barnett.
Yeah. A lot of the Chesterfield players were very good. The guy they had in centre midfielder, I can't remember his name, who had that thunder bastard of a shot that hit the post and then they scored after it. Can't remember his name, but he was
so good you can't remember his name.
I can't remember it, and I don't want to butcher the pronunciation of it. And Gavin Gunning at the back he was only on for half the game, but a beast in defence. Oh, Shimanga as well.
So anyone who played for Chesterfield basically,
for you, yeah. The paupers of Chesterfield. Hugh on a scale.
Don't I get an opinion on the opposite?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Ben.
What is this podcast all about today?
I'm so sorry.
Absolute anti-bullying campaigns needed at this Glover's cast. My selection is Tyrone Williams, who played for Solihull on Saturday. He was absolutely fantastic and gave both originally Robinson on the far side and Moss on the near side an absolutely torrid time. And that's how good those two were, because they could handle it. But Tyrone Williams, he got the sponsors man of the match for Solihull. He was genuinely brilliant. There you go. You can move on now.
Sorry, Ben.
It's okay.
This is not intentional. I can promise you. On the scale of Yeovil Town Cup, brackets, any humiliations the panel has seen personally, where would a hypothetical, of course, defeat by Yate Town rank?
I saw us go out of the... It wasn't the cup, though. Did it? Does it have to be the cup?
No, it's any, in brackets, any humiliation.
We went out of the trophy, FA Trophy, to Yedding once, I think. I think we drew, we was a replay, and Yedding were like they got like 130 fans for a game or something. They were, yeah, we went out with it. I think that was in the Roberts or maybe the Lippiatt days. So yeah, I'd say that, or the penalties against Solihull when we went out to Solihull on penalties, that was pretty bad. We were 2-0 up in that first game, I think. That was the cup.
The Fleetwood one always sticks in my mind. The fact that we were 2-0 up, and up some thunderbolt, and then apparently some kid called Jamie Vardy, who went on to do quite all right, turned it round and took it back to a replay, and then they absolutely demolished us live on TV, and it was shambolic. That was pretty bad for me. But also, do you remember the FA Cup game against Hartlepool away that got cancelled at about 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon, and then was replayed that immediate Tuesday?
Yeah.
And the Yeovil fans and the Yeovil team had to basically travel down and up. And we got battered then as well. We lost 4-1, 5-1. It was awful. But so those are the two that really stick out for me. A Yate Town hypothetical defeat? Yeah, it'd be pretty bad. It'd be pretty bad compared to those two, I'm afraid. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
About yours, Ian?
I don't know. There's nothing I can think of other than the ones you've mentioned that I've not Yedding. That was before my time, I think.
I think if we'd have lost that game against West Auckland Town,
that would have been up there.
That would have been. But Al James saved us and then scored the winner in the penalty.
Yeah.
Penalty shootout up there.
Yeah. I think not particularly a humiliation, but when we didn't beat Carlisle and could have drawn Everton in the next round.
Was that the one where
it was the pitch was like getting icy as the game wore on?
Zoko missed a penalty.
Yeah.
And
Ben and I drove all the way down and all the way back in the same day.
Was that did Kryciak get clotheslined at some point as well?
Yeah, by Jabo Abire.
Yeah, it should have been sent off like that. It's not really a humiliation, but it's one that just remember sitting through all that to not get through, and we had to I only had to go to Yeovil.
I had to go back from Hewish Park to Leeds to Preston. That's a long way on after that, let me tell you. That is a long way.
Another question from Chris Sweet. How should YTFC set up to beat YTFC?
See what he did there. Very good.
Attack, attack, attack.
Very good, Chris. Well done.
Go on, Ben. What are you going to do? I've given my answer.
Yeah, but which way round have you given it for?
For us, of course. I'm a YTFC fan, Ben. And I have bought a ticket as a YTFC fan.
For which end?
The YTFC. There's no segregation. It doesn't matter, does it? Go where I like. Go wherever I'm told to by the authorities.
Yeah, I think Coates is not far off. Just attack.
Yeah. What else can we do?
Defend. Oh, we can do, really. Yeah.
Well, Darren Sahl did say the other week that we can only be who we are, can't we? Which did come across as quite a, you know, a philosophical point, but I think he was saying that You've only got so many players, so we can only be who we are in that sense, can't we? Might have been being philosophical.
It wasn't, I think, therefore I am. It was.
We can only be who we are.
We've got no money, and that's what we are. Another
you
one
get
from,
what you give.
Another one from Dan Johnson. If you had to pick one position to strengthen on the field, which would it be and why?
Attack.
Yeah.
There you go.
There was talk today. Am I right in the gaffer's presser, Ben? Did he talk about trying to get a player on loan from a championship team or Premier League team?
A championship team, he said. He said he had spoken to a championship side this week about a player on loan, but it didn't quite work. And he kind of semi-alluded to the fact it might have been another youngster who would only really come to us and sit on the bench and be a bit part player that he didn't want to unnecessarily do.
All right. I was going to say, who's the top scorer in the championship? We'll have him.
Mitrovic.
Yeah, we'll have him.
He'll do. He'd probably get in over one or two others, yes.
Yeah. Come on, Tony Khan. Send him our way. Clevo, what is your favourite FA Cup memory as a YTFC fan? There is a comment underneath this one, which...
Seen this one, and I've got to say, coming from Hugh, this is pretty low, I have to say.
In Coatsy Boy's case, it has to be the Sunderland 1949 game. # I was there, man.
I would challenge Hugh to show his date of birth against mine and see who was more likely to be there.
Dave's calling out people now. He's calling out people.
Hugh is at Yate on Saturday. Ooh, so
we'll stay away then.
Exactly. I'll get him to show me his driving license.
Well, to check he's in the right end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
so
FA Cup memories. I would say the win at Blackpool in the pouring rain. Wayne, with a don't know who Wayne was or why he was pouring. with the Tony Pennock masterclass that our friend Green and White Goals, Chris, whose surname I won't say because I'll get it wrong, and Nicky Crittenden with a goal on a terrace that was literally falling to pieces under your feet. We all bought these flags at the service station that had like sticks in them, and then the stewards took all the sticks out the flags, but then let someone in with a flare. And I remember when Nick Crittenden scored, this pink flare, I think it was, went off. So there you go. That would be mine.
Yours? What about yours, Ian? What about yours?
You want me to go? There's loads of good cup memories, isn't there? Patmore scoring at Bolton. Mm. Although we didn't win the game, that was like, this is when Bolton were on the verge of going. I think they went up that year, didn't they, as well? So they were, you know, peaked.
Were they not Premier League that year?
No.
They had that Michael Ricketts scored, didn't he? And he scored loads in the Premier League.
I think it was like Allardyce before they got up. It was like on that curve. Jaskalainen in goal. So that was a good one, wasn't it? Charlton away. I mean, we didn't win that, but...
We're just picking games we lost.
Yeah, but we gave them a hell of a go, didn't we? 3-2 at Premier League club. That was like peak Gary Johnson ball, wasn't it, with that team as well? Yeah. Those players.
One when we played Bolton? Was that the season that we beat Colchester 5-1? I think it was under Webb, actually. I remember Barrington Belgrave maybe got one or two.
I think it was
Colchester, yeah. That was a good one.
And then, you know, playing United at home and Liverpool at home, those games were... I think the Liverpool one sticks out more because I was younger and everything was a bit more exciting when you're a kid. And that was like the first... Big match that I got to watch. I think, yeah, the Liverpool one. Gary Lineker waving crisp packets out the box at us.
Harry Kill diving.
Yeah, that was like the first special one. Again, all losses, but, you know, when you're Yeovil Town, the wins always get you to, like, big games, don't they, in the FA Cup? So it's... Yeah, all those big games are real ones. Ben?
I was going to say Liverpool for the same reason, really. It was my sort of first one as a Yeovil fan, sort of 4 years into my sort of time supporting the club. And it's the first time you kind of realise, oh, geez, the big clubs really do have to rock up and turn up at Hewish Park and change in a little tiny changing room and all the rest of it. And we outplayed them for the vast majority. I couldn't be there either because it was the day after my birthday and we had a party. My birthday's on the 3rd and we played Liverpool on the 4th. So I couldn't be there, unfortunately. And in terms of a win, I really, really, really enjoyed the win against Accrington that got us the Man United game, the replay, because we knew what was at stake. And that Kiefer Moore goal and Simon Gillett scoring and those little moments, it sounds so silly, but that when you know what's at stake, the fact that your team stood up and handled the pressure and had those moments, yeah, that was a really, really cool night. And I remember buying tickets for Colchester in between the Accrington and the Man United game, knowing full well I couldn't go to Colchester, but I just wanted to have the ticket stub just in case. And in the end, it was enough to get me the Man United ticket as well. So, yeah. Accrington at home to get the Man United game was pretty cool.
I think seeing Nathan Smith smash Alexis Sanchez in his first game was good as well. Industrious tackle that would have been a red card in any other game of football other than an FA Cup third round match. And the last, I don't think there's any other questions unless you guys have got any kicking around from Tuppence, given the choice, would you prefer to grow a large area of cosmos or dahlias to attract bees?
To attract bees?
Yeah.
Cosmos are good for bees, aren't they?
Cosmos, but I mean, this time of year, you're struggling with gardens. We've
well, he's planning. He's planning for spring.
Okay, in that case, I mean, we personally have had more success this year with lavender. Lavender, we've got a sort of a wall of lavender and some rosemary. Rosemary works really well. And if you can get like the really big bluebells with like the I don't know how to describe it, but the big bluebells, they really work well as well.
Foxgloves.
No, you can buy bluebells. Well, I mean, foxgloves would also work because they've got that shape that allow the bee to go in to rest on the petal.
I had a good success with foxgloves this year.
Yeah, cool. There you go. So there's a few examples there. There's a few
always
examples.
Got to come back to gloves, haven't we, some way or the other?
And Chris Fox. Chris Fox with gloves. He's there on Saturday as well. I want to see Chris Fox in gloves on Saturday, and I want to see Hugh Gleaves' driving license.
What a request.
These are my demands.
Chris Fox in gloves. And Hugh Glee's driving license.
And everyone does shots of tequila afterwards.
Yep.
I think you're going to get people singing that, Dave. I think that's... I hope so. We can say it originated from the Glovers cast.
There we go. See if anyone actually listens to this nonsense. I know who doesn't listen to this nonsense.
Who's that?
The gaffer. I just had to get one more in. I won't say it again.
What time does the HR department close around here?
It's always on. I got a HR section on the website that you two can't access. You should see all the complaints Ben's logged against you, Dave.
I'm going to say the most vehement piece of outburst on this any podcast we've ever done was Ben when I messed up gave the quiz winner away. That was genuine anger, that was. That was straight from the pit of his stomach, hatred, that was.
That's another good segue, actually, there.
Now we're into the quiz.
Careful.
Where I won't give the winner away, but we are... No, I'm not going to say it. Enjoy the quiz.
Cheers, everyone.
And for the grand finale of tonight's Glovers cast, it is the quiz. And tonight, he took a week off. Don't quite know why. We'll have to find out about that. But we've got a returning champion, Rob Manley, fresh from his victory a couple of weeks ago over Clevo. And returning to the Glovers cast to take him on, he did talk to us that he wanted to, is Mr. James Healy. So welcome back, Rob, and welcome back, Jimmer.
Evening. Hi, chaps. How you doing?
Rob has just told us that he is in his thinking position. So he seems to be leaning over, possibly a work surface. So if anybody else is listening and fancies the quiz, you need to find a thinking position.
It's not a work surface. It's actually leaning over my bed.
Oh, is it? Right. Okay. You're not praying, are you? No.
Well, nearly. I could be. Jim is good at this. So I could be praying for some help.
Right.
But I'm really nervous. I have been all afternoon.
This is what the quiz is doing to people now, right? Okay. Well, so as I was going to say, as is always the case, as was the case on the last quiz, we have got a bit of a theme at the request of Mr. Barrett. And the theme tonight is top stoppers. So these are goalkeepers that have been with Yeovil Town. There is another connection between all these goalkeepers, but I will let you tell me what that is come the end. So are we ready for the first one, gentlemen?
Yes, all good. Yeah, all good.
Okay. I was born in Norwich in September of 1992, and at the age of 9, I was spotted playing locally in goal and invited for a trial at Carrow Road. It was not... Jed Steer is the right answer.
Oh, wow.
Correct. Oh, yeah.
That was quick. That's that Football quick. Manager 2009-2010 knowledge.
There you go. Right. Well, there you go. You obviously don't have that, Jim, I know.
No.
Right. Okay. Norwich goalkeepers it is. Right. Okay. So that's 1-0 to Rob. Second one. I was born in Dublin in May 1988, and having played youth football in my own city, I initially joined Aston Villa as a 17-year-old. Having impressed throughout the youth system at Villa Park, I was awarded a one-year professional contract in the summer of 2006, but I could not break into the youth team, and was released when my contract expired and brought to Bristol City by Gary Johnson. It did not take me long.
Stephen Henderson.
Stephen Henderson is the right answer.
Ben Tupman will be impressed because he thinks that he is the best goalie we've ever had.
Well, top stoppers. I think Jed Steer and I know Jed Steer, you know, played in that, in a difficult season, shall we say. But
my wife has just piped up from across the room going, he's actually really hot.
Jed Steer or Jordan Henderson, or has he called Stephen me on Henderson. Camera? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Stephen, I think she was talking about me, but actually meant Stephen Henderson. No, she shaked
not
her
Ben,
head. She
went, not Ben Tupman.
Not Ben Tupman.
No, definitely not Tupman, no.
that was Ian, if you were listening, Toppers. That was Ian, right. Okay. All right, so it's 1-1. It's going into a third and decisive goalkeeper. So, are you ready? Rob's still in his thinking
Ball
position.
Ready.
Okay.
Come on, we'll go. Let's give it a go.
I was born in Westminster in November 1998 and began my career between the sticks at the age of 6 at Cray Wanderers in southwest London. I was sports mad as a kid and played cricket for Kent before choosing football when Chelsea signed me up as an 8-year-old.
Nathan Baxter.
Nathan Baxter is the right answer.
Good one.
Oh, yeah. My word, he was straight in there, wasn't he? Well, there we go.
Unbelievable, Jeff.
I don't unbelievable Jeff indeed. Yeah, he's had a bad week, hasn't he? Poor Jeff Stilling. But right. Okay. Well, that's brought that to a premature close. I don't think I even got past the third paragraph. I won't bother writing so much next time. But
that's if Rob's on. Fair play.
Absolutely, Well done, Rob. The thinking position obviously did it, didn't it? That's what it was all about.
I'm gonna stay here every Thursday now.
Just don't stay there permanently. No.
Not permanent.
Right. Well, Jimmer, I'm afraid I
wrote names down when you said goalies.
I
started by my favourite goalie ever for you, David Coles. What a keeper he was.
Great shout.
I was hoping that Jimmer, I won't say I was hoping Jimmer would stay on, but I was hoping that we might be able to hark back to some older players. So I'm going to have to check with Rob when he's... when his time watching Yeovil came, because I want to do a golden oldies round.
I'd be up for that. I'd be up for a golden oldies. I mean, I started watching probably in the early 90s with my dad. Great times. So yeah, anything sort of conference into the ISIS league into the ISIS Prem would be good, I'd say. So I could handle that.
Okay, well, you're about my era then, Rob. I was an early 90s kind of guy as well. So, right, okay. In which case, golden oldies, and we can watch Ben and Ian just be completely confused about who Colin Omega Behan actually is. But
Mark Shell, legend. Pat Nevin, Neil Cordyce, Neil Cordyce, Andy Wallace.
We're going to have to stop now, otherwise they're just going to end up listing players from the early 90s.
Yeah, Paul Batty. My mum loved Paul Batty.
Me and my dad used to really cheer for Batty. We used to really cheer for Wayne Dobbins.
Wayne Dobbins. You remember that? Right. Anyway, stop naming players because you're going to take all the clues for next week. Right.
No,
that's the end of the quiz, gentlemen. I will call it there, and we will end the podcast here, and we will speak to everybody else after FA Cup weekend. Thank you very much, gents.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him by the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil. Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead. Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.